So today we'll be discussing from Canto 4 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Our focus will be on chapter 29 and our specific focus will be on text number 65, Canto 4, chapter 29, text 65. Canto 4 is called as Talks Between Narad and King Prachina Barhi. So we will focus on 65. The verse goes as follows.
Tenasya tadrisham rajal.
Tenasya tadrisham rajal.
Tenasya tadrisham rajal.
Tenasya tadrisham rajal.
Lingino deha sambhavam.
Lingino deha sambhavam.
Lingino deha sambhavam. Shraddhatsvananubhutortho. Shraddhasvananubhutortho. Namanahas prashtumarhati. Namanahas prashtumarhati. Tenasya tadrisham rajal. Lingino deha sambhavam. Shraddhatsvananubhutortho. Namanahas prashtumarhati. Tenasya tadrisham rajal. Lingino deha sambhavam. Shraddhatsvananubhutortho. Namanahas prashtumarhati.
Tena. Therefore. Asya. Of the living entity. Tadrisham. Like that. Rajan, O King, Linginaha, who has a suitable, who has a subtle mental covering, Deha Sambhavan, produced in the previous body, Shraddhatsva, accepted as fact, Ananubhutaha, not perceived, Arthaha, a thing, na, never, manaha, in the mind, sprashtum, to manifest, arhati, is able. Translation. Therefore, my dear king, the living entity who has a subtle mental covering develops all kinds of thoughts and images because of his previous body. Therefore, my dear king, the living entity who has a subtle mental covering develops all kinds of thoughts and images because of his previous body. Take this from me as certain. There is no possibility of concocting anything mentally. There is no possibility of concocting anything mentally without having perceived it in the previous body. There is no possibility of concocting anything mentally without having perceived it in the previous body. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Krishna Bahir Mukahana Bhogavan Chakare Nikatastha Maya Tare Jhapatiya Dhare. This is from Prema Vivarta, a very oft quoted verse. Actually, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the supreme enjoyer. When a living entity wants to imitate him, he is given a chance to satisfy his false desire to lord it over material nature. That is the beginning of his downfall. As long as he is within the material atmosphere, he has a subtle vehicle in the form of the mind, which is the stockpile of all kinds of material desires. Such desires become manifest in different bodily forms. Srila Narad Muni requests the king to accept this fact from him because Narada is an authority. The conclusion is that the mind is the storehouse of our past desires. The conclusion is that the mind is the storehouse of our past desires. And we have this present body due to our past desires. Similarly, whatever we desire in this present body will be expressed in a future body. Similarly, whatever we desire in this present body will be expressed in a future body. Thus, the mind is the source of all different kinds of bodies. Now, if the mind is purified by Krishna consciousness, one will naturally in the future get a body that is spiritual, full of Krishna consciousness. Such a body is our original form. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confirms, Jivera Swarupahoye Krishnera Nityadas. Every living entity is constitutionally an eternal servant of Krishna. If a person is engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, he is to be considered a liberated soul even in this life. This is confirmed by Srila Rupa Goswami, who says, Iha yasya harer dasye karmana manasa gira nikhilashva api avasthasu jivan mukta sa uchyate. One who engages in the transcendental service of the Lord in body, mind and words is to be considered liberated in all conditions of material existence. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.187. The Krishna consciousness movement is based on this principle. We must teach people to absorb themselves always in the service of the Lord. We must teach people to absorb themselves always in the service of the Lord, because that position is their natural position. One who is always serving the Lord is to be considered already liberated. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 14.26. Mam cha vyo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One who always engages in the spiritual activity of unalloyed devotional service at once transcends the modes of material nature and is elevated to the spiritual platform. The devotee is therefore above the three modes of material nature and is even transcendental to the Brahmana platform. A Brahman may be infected by the two baser modes. A Brahman may be infected by the two baser modes, namely Rajagun and Tamagun. A pure devotee who is free from all material desires experienced on the mental platform and who is also free from empiric philosophical speculation or fruitive activity is always above material conditioning and is always liberated. ओम अज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाखाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदाम्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं मुखां करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघायते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे श्रीगुरुदिनतारिणं वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवतीर्नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। तेनास्य तादृशं राजन् लिंगिनो देह संभवम् श्रद्धास्वानुभूतोर्तो न मनः प्रष्टुमर्हति। देयरफोर माय डियर किंग, द लिविंग एंटिटी हु हैज अ सटल मेंटल कवरिंग डेवलप्स ऑल काइंड्स ऑफ थॉट्स एंड इमेजेस बिकॉज ऑफ हिज प्रीवियस बॉडी। टेक दिस फ्रॉम मी एज सर्टन। देयर इज नो पॉसिबिलिटी ऑफ कॉन्कॉक्टिंग एनीथिंग मेंटली विदाउट हैविंग परसीव्ड इट इन द प्रीवियस बॉडी। So, a very long conversation is in this last phase. This long conversation is between Narad Muni and Prachina Barhi. Narad Muni, as the most compassionate spiritual master or guru, is not giving up on Prachina Barhi. Whether Prachina Barhi asks questions of his own volition or whether he does not ask any questions and he is just sitting, Narad Muni is hammering into him. Narad Muni is determined that I want to get this Prachina Barhi detached from this material world. This is the job of a guru. Srila Prabhupada was once asked, what is it that pleases you most? What when we do pleases you the most? Srila Prabhupada said, it pleases me the most to see that you all are getting increasingly attached to Lord Krishna. As simple as that. That's what our guru wants. He doesn't want anything else. So Narad Muni here, that's all he wants in this long conversation. So many chapters he is working on Prachina Barhi. If a great man, if a king of the stature of Maharaj Prachina Barhi becomes a devotee, then he will become a Rajarishi, and obviously then he will espouse the principles, he will evangelize the principles of Krishna consciousness in his kingdom. Therefore, Narad Muni very expertly is persisting, expertly, and you know, he is showing perseverance as well as expertise in preaching to Prachina Barhi through the medium of an allegory, a story of Puranjan and the queen, but actually it is the life of Prachina Barhi himself. So, in this verse, now, Narad Muni is essentially trying to, in this verse and the next few verses, he is trying to emphasize the importance of purifying the mind. That is the key focus of the next few verses. So, there is a very famous verse from the Amrita Bindu Upanishad. Mana eva anushyanam karanam bandha mokshayaha bandhaya vishayo sangho muktyai nir vishayam manaha. That mind which is engaged in sense objects, that mind which is absorbed in sense objects, binds us to this material world, and that mind which engages in the lotus feet of Lord Krishna detaches us from the same material world. So the mind is both a friend as well as a foe. So it is many times emphasized in Srimad Bhagavatam that attachment to matter, which is what many of, at least I am undergoing right now, is an artificial attachment. It is not the natural condition of the living entity. Now, why are we attached to matter? Why are we in this artificial condition? It is because this situation comes as a fundamental impact of the desire to enjoy separately from Lord Krishna. So that desire is the root cause of all problems. That's why in the purport also it is said, that is the beginning of one's downfall. It is this desire which causes that downfall. Prabhupada quotes immediately, the first, at the outset, Prabhupada is saying, Krishna bhuli, Krishna bahyamukha ana, bhoga vanchakare, nikatastha maya tare, jhapatiya tare. So Prabhupada opens itself with that quote. That is the root cause, Krishna bhuli. We are forgetting Krishna, wanting to enjoy separately from Him. Bhoga vanchakare. Now, in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 15, this point also is very nicely elaborated. We all know that 15th chapter opens with the example of the banyan tree, right? So, the very first verse there says, Urdhva moolam adha shakham ashvattam prahuravyayam. There is this imperishable banyan tree with the roots upward and the branches down. So, it is mentioned here that the material world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. It's a perverted reflection of the real sense enjoyment that one finds in the spiritual world. Srila Prabhupada, in his purports, says that the lake, the crystal clear lake, which is reflecting this water, it actually reflects the bottommost part first. The bottommost part is clearly reflected in the reflection. And it is mentioned that reflecting surface is the desire to enjoy separately from the Lord. That is the reflecting surface there. And that desire gives rise to many bodies, gross body as well as subtle body. Now, in reality, we don't need these bodies. To enjoy in the spiritual world, we don't need this body. In fact, we can enter the spiritual world only if we give up this gross and subtle body. So, we don't need to carry it there. So, in the spiritual world, we have our original body, which is our Siddha Deha, which is Sachidananda. But we want to enjoy separately from the Lord. But we want to enjoy separately. And we cannot enjoy separately from the Lord in the spiritual world. We can't do that because the whole premise of spiritual enjoyment keeps Lord Krishna in the center as the enjoyer, not us as the enjoyer. So therefore, it's not possible. Some people say, can I go to spiritual world and still enjoy myself? People have asked these questions. You can, but not separately from the Lord. Spiritual world is full of enjoyment, but He is the center of that enjoyment. Okay? And when He is happy, everyone is happy. Yatha taror moola nishechana. When you water the roots of the tree, then all the nourishment goes to all the twigs and the branches. Now, If in the spiritual world, Lord Krishna is the enjoyer and that is the truth, that will not change. But the conditioned souls, Prabhupada calls rascals, the rascal wants to enjoy, you know, separately from him. They don't accept the fundamental premise that how can Lord Krishna be the enjoyer? Why not me also, little bit? Chota Krishna. Chota Bhim is then only the little Krishna. Why can't that be little Krishna? Therefore, we have to be given forgetfulness. We have to be given forgetfulness that he is the center of enjoyment. Otherwise, how will we enjoy? For example, if I walk into, you know, somebody's house, I say, knock, knock, I have come. And then, excuse me, what can I do for you? And just I push the door and I go inside and I open the fridge. And I said, acha, rasgulla you have made, okay. And then I said, what else do you have in the house? What do you think they will? Even devotees. 1 or 2 days they will say, Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you for coming Prabhuji, so happy. First day they will say, second day they will say, third day they will say, you know, why this fellow is coming every day now? He is not even asking us. He is opening the fridge, you know. Anything he is eating. Right? So what does he think? Is this his house or what? So they will think like that, right? Anybody will think like that, okay? So, unless we completely forget that somebody else is the owner of everything, we will do this, you know, rascal stuff. This will go on. We will continue like this only, okay? Therefore, the Lord also knows these rascals have to be given forgetfulness. That, okay, maybe it all belongs to you. Therefore, in 15.15, he says, Sarvasya chahariti sannivishto mattah smritir jnanam apohanam cha. He just says, I'll give you forgetfulness, enjoy. But I will give you smriti also in this world. I'll come as Paramatma inside your heart and I'll keep telling you that I am the enjoyer. So, we want to think that we are little Krishnas. That is our problem. We want to have a little bit of our kingdom, owning something, controlling something, enjoying something. So, this desire to enjoy from our perspective rather than from Lord Krishna's perspective is the cause of the mind becoming the enemy. Then the mind says, okay, I'll see you. You want to do that? Okay, I am there. It acts like a friend actually. Just come, I'll help you. But actually that fellow is an enemy at that point. So, this phenomenon of falling down and losing our spiritual consciousness and then getting covered as a result of our desires and getting these bodies, this phenomenon is called as avidya or ignorance. Actually, there is nothing called as ignorance for the soul. The soul is what? Anandamaya or Vyasat. It's full of, you know, Satchidananda. Full of chit is there. Where is the question of ignorance? But because of this desire, that ignorance is imposed owing to forgetfulness of the Lord. Now, whereas it is said that knowledge, real knowledge, is to see everything from Lord Krishna's perspective. Seeing everything from his perspective. So therefore, it is said, one who knows this banyan tree, others will think, oh, it's just some tree which is upside down. That is the reality. But one who knows the reality of this banyan tree, it is said, Chandamsi yasya parnani yastam vedasa vedavit, which means one who knows this transcendental knowledge, who knows the true nature of this banyan tree, is the true knower of the Vedas. Such a person is called as Vedavadinaha. Such a person knows the Vedas. Why? Because Vedas educate us on three things. Vedas educate us on what is our relationship with Lord Krishna, how to revive that lost relationship, and how to find true enjoyment, how to find that real happiness of the spiritual world while practicing bhakti in this material world itself, how to get a understanding of what's going on there. So Vedas and the Puranas and the Itihasas, they all are meant to teach us this. Now, owing to ignorance of the Vedas, because of our laziness to open the books and study, then we think that the banyan tree is all in all. That is the ultimate truth. That reflected, perverted reflection, banyan tree. because we don't open the scripture to study. So it is said that the one is then the only thing one knows is his banyan tree. So merely like a monkey, we are jumping from one branch to another branch, or one sub branch to a branch to another sub branch to branch. That's how we are jumping from here and there, trying to see somewhere we will get happiness in this banyan tree of the material world. And that jumping from one branch to another gives us our bodies in various species of life. 8.4 million species. The tendency to jump from one branch to another. If one activity that we are trying to do with full conviction, no, this activity I will be sorted out in this material world. Then it will frustrate and you say, okay, maybe I am not meant for cricket. Maybe I should do music. Let me start learning music. Maybe I should study. Maybe I will become a CEO of a company. So jumping from one branch to the other. Maybe I should not even study. What's the point in studying? Maybe what I will do is, I'll do some course by which I'll become a real estate fellow and then I'll make a lot of money. This is how the mind is thinking. Today, I've been talking to so many teenagers recently. Trust me, most of them are confused today. Most of them change their course which they selected in the first year itself. And not one change, many of them are keeping on changing. During our time, it was simple. When I studied, my father said, why don't you do mechanical engineering? I said, yes. And they said, okay, go, do. I said, okay, I'll do. And then I don't know why I didn't. Then I realized after mechanical engineering, I didn't like it very much, being on the shop floor factory, So 4.5 years I gave it. Then I said, no, I will work with Jardine Fleming and Morgan Stanley. So I said, okay, let me do MBA finance, B school. So I worked very hard and I got into the B school. And after 2 years, what happened? I realized I'm not cut out for finance. I just hated that subject. And then I said, okay, what to do? Then in my placement, I went into an IT company. Okay, and then they gave me a project. I said, what do you want to do? I said, supply chain management. Okay, very good. They gave me one project. After that, I got so fed up with that. Then I said, can I not do something else? But there was nothing else I could do. Then because my client decided where all I went in the world. They told me, okay, Toshiba, Japan. So I went there. Then they told me, okay, go to Intel in Arizona. I went there. From there, they said, okay, go to Canada. I went there. Then they said, come to Australia. Then I went to Kodak. And from Australia, now I am National Australia. Right? So going from one place to another, the wave is just carrying you. That's all. Don't know what you want. One thing later on I realized. Okay, at the end of the day, it is the salary which comes. At the end of the month. In Tamil, we call it as, pay me 40, call me 30. Which means what? 30 means what? Bangi. You know what is bangi? Bangi. 30 means, people who do the gardening work and all that. Or someone new even. They call me even bangi. Toilet cleaner. But give me my 40 rupees at the end of the month. Right? So then devotee realizes at the end of that it's all pay me, call me 30, pay me 40 business that is happening here in the material world. Right? So one is jumping from one branch to another. We don't know what we want. Even in my time that confusion was there. I'm giving myself as an example now. But now forget about job. People say I want to do medicine. Then suddenly changing mind after some time. No, I will do IT. Drastic change. I will do this, I will do that. The child is frustrated, the parents are also frustrated. But it's good because the parents become detached after that. Krishna also knows how to detach us from this world. He will frustrate continuously. Okay? And we will get detached. So the mind will no longer trouble if we give it up. Okay, Lord, you take care now. I am not going to worry. Right? So this is how this material world is. Brahmanda Brahmite Kono Bhagyavan Ji. Guru Prasad, Guru Krishna Prasad Paya Bhakti Ratavi. The first line is Brahmanda Brahmite. Brahmite means what? Moving, no? Whole Brahmite is rotating here and there, one branch to another, throughout this Brahmanda, but no peace of mind. So it is emphasized in this verse that the root cause of all this is desire. Desire. I want something. I want desire for myself. That desire. And that desire produces inclinations in the subtle body. Subtle body is very quick. Ah, you have desired. I am there to help you. Come. Right? And there, no. And there is a friend. That's what subtle body tells. Actually, the subtle body is a rascal. He's your enemy. But he's not your friend. Come, come, come. And then he said, I'll give you a gross body. I'll bring another friend of mine. Oh, together they will come. Subtle and gross body. And then what happens? Gradually, that subtle body tells, you know what? At least now you realize, see, you got that promotion in office now. That's why I always told you, this gross body is you. You are manager. You are scientist. No, you are doctor. It gives us upadis, false heredities. It further emphasizes us like that. Therefore, Lord Krishna is saying, Mamaiva Vamsha Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana Manashastan Indriyani Prakriti Stanikas. Everyone is disturbed because of this rascal mind. It is taking us everywhere, here and there, here and there. And therefore, this mind gives us nothing but ashanti. It does not allow us to sit in one place. Like a monkey, it makes us jump from one branch to another. So, now, Krishna consciousness is what? How to make this mind shant. Sit. Relax. What is it? Chill, mate. Chill. Sit down in one place. Okay. So, in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text 55, the first quality of such a person who has made his mind sit down in one place, what is such a person called as? Stita Pragya. Stita means one place you sit. Right. So in 2.25, the quality of first quality of a Stita Pragya is discussed. What does it say? Prajapati yada kaman sarva partha manogatam atmani eva atmana tushtaha stita pragnista uchyate. When the mind finds satisfaction in the self alone, when the mind finds satisfaction in the self alone, then transcendental consciousness will manifest. So, unless one gives up all varieties of sense desire which arise from mental concoction, it is not possible to become Stita Pragya. So we have to tell, constantly remind us, I am not this body, I am not this mind, I am not this intelligence. But what am I? That also we have to remind. Otherwise, Mayavadis also do all these things. So the devotee on top of this reminds himself or herself, who am I? Gopi Bhartur Pada Kamalayor Das Dasam Das. Otherwise, we are akin to impersonalists. So, as long as we are the center of enjoyment, and I say we, some people say, no, I don't want anything for myself, I'm doing for family. Like the people say, family means what? You only. Rupa says, extended self. I'm doing all this, I have built all this palace, not for me, for my children I have done that. So they don't suffer. Our children are not suffering. After having built palace, every rascal is suffering in this world. Nowadays, one day, I was talking to my son. I was telling him, why teenagers go under depression nowadays? Every teenager is depressed. Every other person that I speak to, literally. He told me a brilliant point. Okay, because he has gone through it, just coming out of it. So he told me that, you know what he told me? He said, because you had struggle in your life. I thought, wow man, this is profound. I was thinking about it and I realized, yes, we had struggle in our life for basic house, small houses. Many of us came from, so how does it matter? Dad said, do mechanical engineering, okay, something will come as income to the house. Okay, we had basic problems in life during our generation, right? Of struggling, going in local trains. I used to go in local trains in Bombay. So I had other struggles. So will I even get a job first of all? How will I bring, money to the family such that all of us will have, will we have money to paint the house? So we had basic issues in life. Our issues were not like that. Okay, children already have a big house and then they say, I want my own space. I never asked my father, I want my own space. He said, you want your own space? You go outside, a lot of spaces there, outside the house. Right? I want a study desk, with a light on top and all that. I never had a study desk. My study desk was that, there was one wood attached, a wooden plank attached to the wall. Nakadak, you open it. And when some people come, guests, my father said, okay, can you close it? So that there's place for them to sit up. So there. That was what he does, right? So therefore, there was some struggle in life, and we had a desire. Even sometimes struggle gives us that focus. It gives us a goal, at least a material goal. Because I know I was not Krishna conscious, but at least I had a material goal. But materially also, when sometimes people are comfortable, everything is running first class, then what? Sometimes people don't understand why am I living. What is my contribution? Everyone wants to contribute in some way. Okay. So people wonder, why am I living like that? So he told me that he has spoken to many of his friends and they say, I don't know why I am even studying. I don't know. Because my father has learned something and everything is going fine. And then I am seeing that even after I studied this, anyway, whatever I am going to do corporate level, I may not even get a job. If I get a job, half the time, people are in and out of jobs in this country. Okay. And now with the COVID, it's even worse. Whether you have studied, not studied, it doesn't take a manager one moment to tell you, thank you very much for your years of service to this company. From this moment, we have already decided that you cannot have access to our systems anymore. They will inform you after that. And then they'll tell you the security will escort you outside. After years of service. Okay. So this is the world. It beats you. It beats you and brings you down. It says, don't try to enjoy this world. Dukkhalaya Mashashvatam. So, therefore, this, as long as we do material activities for immediate self or extended self, we are not going to, we'll be entrenched in this, in doing kaam. We will not get frame. So, it is said that the mind is the link or junction. Mind is the link or junction between the gross and the subtle body. It is the one which connects the gross and subtle body. In fact, mind is a component of subtle body, but it's the one which keeps us bound to this gross body. So if the mind is restless, there is no question of peace, and forget about bliss. There is no peace only. First peace has to come, then only bliss will come. There is no peace. So first there has to be neutrality. From neutrality only we can move to positivity. We are always living in negativity. Positivity is very far off. So it is recommended, Prabhupada hammers to us, that first we have to stop lording over and be satisfied in any situation of life. It's easier giving a class, sitting on an assessment. It's extremely difficult to do it. Being satisfied is very difficult. In any situation we have to be satisfied. Try not to be the lord or the master. Rather be the servant. So the desires which the mind So this desire which creates the mind, the desire which creates the mind, and what happens when the desire creates this mind, the mind captures impressions. Continuously the mind is capturing impressions from everywhere. And if we allow these impressions to go through our senses, then there is a kind of a mold that is created, which the subtle body assumes later on. It's a mold, right? Something which is created for putting something on top of that so that a shape can be created later on. That's called as a mold. Okay. So, at the end of life, it is said that whatever mold is there, okay, whatever mold is there towards the end of life, you can, a suitable clay is put on top of it. Whatever mold we have created throughout our life by these impressions which are on the mind, at the end of the life what happens? That mold is already ready at the time of death. So immediately what happens? Just a suitable clay is put in the mold, so next body is ready. So similarly, so we see, for example, children sometimes. Children go to the beach and they create so many things from the sand. Right? Or they, in schools they have this clay. Children play with clay. So in clay, what happens? Children create something, Oh, I have created daddy, they'll say. And then they'll put two small hands and two legs and all that. So this is what it is. This is human being they have created. But then it doesn't take much time for us to just like a chapati, atta, just crash the whole thing and make another two more legs out of that. And then what happens? It becomes a four-legged animal. So like that, what happens is, the material nature plays around with us, just like children play with clay. Karmana daiva netrena jantur deha upapatteye. So because of our karma, and under the jurisdiction of Daiva, we get automatically our material bodies. Based on the mold which is created because of our activities and desires, then there is an external stuffing into the mold that happens at the time of death. So therefore we are responsible for creating this mold on which, you know, iron will be poured and next body, or clay will be put and next body will be ready. We are responsible for the mold. Therefore the consciousness of the mind decides what kind of mold we develop, and according to our desires we get a suitable gross body in the next lifetime. So for example, let's take meat eating. Sometimes I have seen this, you know, at my workplace. I have a person, he eats meat all the time and he is sweating all the time, you know. Now looking at his facial features, his teeth, okay, you kind of, you know, we can see that, okay, you know, some kind of evolution has happened in his body. He's just arrived into a human body, right? Because like that, you know, eating that all the time. I've never seen him eating vegetarian. Okay, so and when he talks, when he's when, you know, his whole demeanor, it looks like, okay, just evolved into a human species, like that. So from the facial features, we can sometimes fathom. Okay. That's why in English it is said, the face is the index of the mind. Mind is there, therefore face is there. So what's going on in the mind sometimes can be revealed by just studying the face of the person. So we have to be careful about what impressions. We have to be careful about what impressions we are allowing. Not only we have to be careful about what impressions we are allowing to get into our consciousness, but a proactive devotee also decides what environment we expose ourselves to. We cannot just blame the impression. We cannot sit in front of a television set and then suddenly, you know, some naked woman walks past, you know, and then we say, why these people are, you know, doing like that? I am disturbed now. Okay, don't watch them. Don't ask that thing. Don't go to the internet. Don't see YouTube. Okay, you see YouTube, but only see, you know, obviously, you know, see what has to be seen, which is good for Krishna consciousness. So we cannot blame the external environment. Proactivity is upon us as to what we allow ourselves to be exposed to. The material world is not going to, you know, when you on the television, what do you think? You know, Kirtan will be on, you know, all Paramahansas are going one lecture after the other, you know, Foxtel channel will give. No, it is going to give what it wants to give. Those people are going to give you because they are there for commercial interest. They will pander to the lower tastes of all of us. So there is no point in exposing ourselves and then blaming. So, in Bhagavad Gita 15.8, it is said, Shariram yat avapnoti vayur gandham ivashayat. The living entity in this material world carries his different conceptions of life from one body to another as the air carries aromas. So, we have freedom to choose which gross body we get. We are responsible for it. Therefore, Prabhupada said, life is a preparation. And death is the examination. Life is a preparation for what? It's a preparation. You are making the mold. Okay. Are you preparing for your Siddha Deha, spiritual body? Or do you have so many latent desires which are surfacing every other day? So life is a preparation and death is an examination. Just like, for example, I don't know, I studied in India. Here I don't know whether, no. I know it actually. In primary school there are no examinations here. Okay. So, and in secondary school also, whether you write or not, you are anyway promoted, I heard. In this country I have not seen anyone being, you know, you have failed or something like that. Maximum, even if you fail, you get zero in all subjects. They'll say that, you know, you have potential. No, they'll tell. In India you'll get one slap from the teacher. You donkey, you have not studied. Here they'll say, we want to release your potential. You're such a lovely person, aren't you? And you can now, that loveliness can also be, you can bring to your studies and all. In India, principal will make us kneel down and give us two whacks in the back. Next day, you know, you cannot afford to get zero after that. In the next paper. So, of course, it depends, you know, how treatment to treatment. But still, in India, we had this concept of, even in year 4, you have to write that exam. Then only you will be promoted. In the progress card, it is said, promoted to year 5. Right? So, it is written there in our report card, right? So we have to be promoted to a higher standard. So what we do now decides whether the authorities decide to promote us to the next higher or otherwise. Otherwise they'll say, no, keep him there only. He is just about, you know, in the same class, just about managed to pass, or just failed with minimum margin. So keep him there, let him repeat this class. And worst come, zero in all subjects. You say, better you go back to year 3, grade 3, and do properly. So when I studied, I remember demotion was there. I know two of my friends who were demoted. Okay. One of them is a big businessman today. He says, what did you want? Anyway, so look where I am now. Okay. So it is said that the mind, is such a rascal, it acts like a queen. How does a queen do? It just gives orders. Hey, go there, hello, here, there. So the mind acts like a queen, and the senses are the servants of the mind. Senses are always waiting. So where the mind goes, eventually senses will also follow there. Mind says, okay, come on, all of you, left turn, okay, left, right, right, stop, stop, run, run. The senses are following this queen of the mind. Now, the mind's activities. What are the mind's activities? It is said mind's activities are thinking, feeling and willing. And therefore the mind decides all these three, and the senses, what do they do? They do the fourth one, execution. Acting layer, execution layer. Mind is the planning layer. So, now what does the mind think? The mind thinks based on what the intelligence prioritizes. That is what the mind thinks. Right? Mind is always focusing on what is the priority. For example, if our priority is not taking shelter of the holy name, then even while chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna, yeah, I have a 9:30 meeting. Okay, Hare Krishna, yeah, what do I speak in that meeting? Because I have to get that business somehow from the customer. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. And by thinking, what do I do? Where do I invest? Now, Hare Krishna, and all kinds of priority. Job is priority. By the way, I have got, no, what knee pain. Okay, I have got knee pain. Should I do Ayurveda or should I do homeopathy? Or should I do asanas? Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. Like that. So mind will have job, family, money, health. So many things. And then on top of that, spirituality is also there. And then, Hare Krishna, I'm chanting actually right now. I'm chanting to develop love for the Lord. Sometimes the mind will go there. Again, it will take you outside. So that is how it is. So, based on our intelligence, the mind is constantly prioritizing, reprioritizing. Intelligence is doing that and it's giving signals to the mind. So, there are a multitude of thoughts that come when one sits for chanting. So, eventually what happens, out of all those thoughts, then one says, I think I should do this. I should take up Ayurveda. The mind will do some decision at a time. It could be other, of course, Ayurveda is a good decision. But sometimes, you know, the mind will tell you also, I think I should get up and, you know, drink a little bit alcohol. So, from I should, what will happen? It will become, I will drink alcohol now. Thinking, feeling and willing. So, then you go and actually do that activity. So, these senses are acting at the instruction of the mind, and the intelligence is directing our mind. This intelligence is always full of thoughts, and the mind is always picking up these thoughts constantly. Therefore, we need to control this rascal mind. Why? Because yam yam vapi smarana. Lord has already said that. Whatever state of mind you have at the end of your lifetime, so you will attain without faith. And therefore, if the mind is always thinking about, you know, something else other than the Lord, there is no question of the mind focusing on the Lord. Therefore, in the Srimad Bhagavatam 9th canto, it is mentioned about how Ambarish Maharaj succeeded in bringing the mind under control. Famous verse. Savai Manak Krishna Padaravindayo Vachamsi Vaikunta Gunanu Varnane. So first thing what he did was, he before he did everything else, he first started, he focused, I will control my mind. I will put my mind in Padara Vindayo, Radharakrishna is what put doubt in her mind in the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. However, not everyone can come to the point of Ambarish Maharaj. Prabhupada says many times that when we see a suitable object of sense gratification, when we see a Vishaya object, what happens? One is tempted to indulge a little bit. Okay, try it out. So, an object of Vishaya, when it comes in front of us, we become very susceptible, or we are at a very high risk of indulgence when that object comes in front of us. In Bhagavad Gita 2.60, the Lord says, Yatato yapi kaunteya purushasya vipaschitaha indriyani pramathini haranti prashamam manaha. The senses are so strong and turbulent, O son of Kunti, that they can forcibly carry away the mind. The senses are so strong that they can forcibly carry away the mind even of a person who is endowed with discrimination and who is practicing sense control. This is a very heavy verse, right? Even if a person is practicing, still the senses can take it away, right? So, given this danger, immediately the Lord pacifies in the next very verse. He says, Tani sarvani sanyamya yukta asita matparaha vasehi yashendriyani tasya pragnya pratishtitaha. Which means, they are established in perfect knowledge. They are established in perfect knowledge who subdue their senses and keep their minds ever absorbed in me. Those people are engaged in perfect knowledge who subdue their senses and keep their minds ever absorbed in me. So that is why we are given Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The meaning of mantra, mantra means that which delivers the mind. Mantra. Right? So this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is meant to fix our mind on Lord Krishna. It's just like a bodily exercise. When we do a bodily exercise every day, then what happens? Why do we do bodily exercises? Why do we do pranayam? Whatever that we do, right? Vastrika and whatever. We do all this and regular exercise so that our body is less prone to infection from outside. So that our immune system becomes strong. Because if the immune system is weak, anything can attack us. So by the process of attentive chanting, by the process of careful chanting, it's just like akin to going for jogging every day or doing yogasans or pranayam every day. This is for the soul. This is pranayama for the soul, exercise for the soul. So by chanting attentively, our immunity system is boosted. Subtle immunity is boosted. So when the mind is strong, we don't get overpowered by infectious thoughts. We don't get overpowered by that. We are easily able to control. So, but our mind has to be put in the fire of chanting the holy names of the Lord. It has to be placed in the fire. Prabhupada gives that example, the smithy. You put the rod in the fire, it will take the nature of the fire. It has to be kept in the fire of the holy name of the Lord. And it's a struggle. But we have to struggle to fix our mind on the Lord. Inattentive chanting is not going to help. There are two types of inattentive chanting. Accidental inattentive chanting and planned inattentive chanting. Okay. Accidental inattentive chanting is going to happen. Because even Arjuna said, Oh Lord, I cannot control my mind. What is that verse? Chanchalaye Manak Krishna, he said. That is, accidentally mind is going here and there. I don't know why my mind is taking. Okay, that is one part. But planned inattentive chanting is worse. Okay. Let me watch a movie and finish my rounds. Planned inattentive chanting. So I have complained in my 16th round that I enjoyed my senses also. So Krishna will also, you know, Prabhupada asks, you know, somebody asks, are you chanting 16 rounds? Yeah, I'm doing 16 rounds, 18 I'm doing. 3 hour movie means 24 rounds. Okay, so therefore, this is called as planned inattentive chanting. This planned inattentive chanting is not going to get us anywhere. Who are we trying to fool? It's not going to give us. Bahu janma gani hridi shravana kirtan. Not possible. So, therefore, while in an exercise, what is the purpose of exercise? Like for example, you know, in jogging, we are told you must run at such a pace where you are, it has to go like that, the body has to go to that state and then stop. High intensity, stop. There has to be some pain. You are just walking like this, like there is no whistling. Is this exercise?
Nothing is going to come out of this exercise. This is not exercise. Nicely, no trouble to the body. Nicely walking, you know, we are just, you know, enjoying the sun, we are enjoying the greenery, humming a nice tune and walking. Nothing is going to come out of it. There has to be struggle. So that struggle is what? The struggle to get our mind back while chanting. It is a struggle. Mind will run. So that struggle is what Lord Krishna is going to see and reward us. So if our chanting is like this, you know, like that, wherever mind takes, okay, it will take you to the tree, enjoy nicely. And then after all the enjoyment, suddenly what happens? 16 rounds is over. This is the problem. This is the root cause of it. We are very happy. But if we struggle to bring our mind back, then if the Lord awards, sees that struggle, sincere struggle, He will award us. He awards us with the taste of chanting. And when the taste of chanting comes, one will not do this part. Neither one needs to take out the beer bag and see how many are left. One will see, one will not have that counter only. Okay, after 16, one will continue going and then realize that, oh, okay, I'm saying, my Lord, I can't stop this. Obviously, this is not my realization. I'm far away from the rank, from the first category. Okay, inattentive chanters. But this is what I have heard from various people who are attentive chanters. Okay. And we have a lot of attentive chanters in this congregation itself. So, the mind has to be dragged back. Now, intelligence influences the mind. We discussed before. It is intelligence which prioritizes and influences the mind. So, it is not only enough to exercise the mind by chanting. It is also required to influence the intelligence. Because behind that mind, there is the intelligence giving prioritization. Right? So, therefore, how do we get our right priorities in life? That is done by studying the scriptures. So mere chanting is not enough. That is why it is important. Shravanam and Kirtanam. That only will lead to Smaranam. So therefore, we have to study the scriptures. Through the philosophy, coming down from disciplic succession in Parampara, just like Narad Muni is giving this, we develop our intelligence. Scriptures tell us how to engage all our faculties in the service of Lord Krishna. Scriptures tell us that. So Srila Rupa Goswami puts it in the Nectar of Devotion. That's why Prabhupada gave this particular verse here. How beautiful Prabhupada's words are. I mean, so succinct. Prabhupada knows what to tell us. Iha yasya harer dasya karmana manasagira nikilashva api avasthasu jivan muktasa uchyate. What a fact was Prabhupada has put here. A person acting in Krishna consciousness in service of Lord Krishna with body, mind, intelligence and words. Such a person is liberated even within the material world. Although he may be engaged in so many so-called material activities. Very aptly Prabhupada has put that verse here. So, our activities show what is the state of our mind. Karmana. Our activities show the state of our mind. Then our activities, the state of the mind reflect in our thoughts. Manasa. Manasa will reflect in our thoughts. Gira. Speech. So, at death, only the gross body will fall away if we control our mind. Because there is no subtle body. No? If the subtle body is dissolved, even in this very lifetime, by controlling the mind, what is left after that, at death? Only the gross body that will remain. Just like the example is given of the raw coconut. Now, the outer shell. Then the coconut outer shell is there and inner coconut is there. So this outer shell is compared to the gross body. And the white sweet pulp which is there inside is the soul. In the example of the coconut. So when unripe, when the coconut is unripe, the pulp is strongly attached to the outer layer. So if you try to break it, it's very difficult. The coconut is still sticky. Like that. And you have to keep scraping. We have a lot of those scrapers to do that. But before breaking the coconut, if the shell is dried, if it is made dry, then it very easily breaks. So therefore, the attachment, the subtle body is the one which is the layer. If the subtle body is dissolved, very easily we can end up getting any more gross bodies. It's a very beautiful example. I heard somewhere. I thought of sharing with all of you. Okay. So now the question is how to break this coconut, how to break
this. So in Bhagavad Gita, Lord tells in 15.10, he says, Vimuda nanu pashyanti, pashyanti jnana chakshushah. Foolish people cannot understand how the living entity can quit one's body, nor they can understand what sort of body he enjoys under the spell of three modes of material nature. But one whose eyes are trained in knowledge can see all this. So we have to develop Shastra Chakshu to be able to see everything anointed with the salve, what is that? Ointment of knowledge. So from someone's activity itself, as we were discussing before, we can guess which body one has come from. Right? So one comes to know by repeated experience. Simple examples are there. For example, when there is if you are driving somewhere and you have fallen asleep, okay, and suddenly nice fragrance is coming, then what will happen? You will know. If you are used to that route, you will know, oh, we are passing through the botanical gardens right now. Even if you are asleep, you will know, because habit, every day you are going through that route. In Bombay, every day I used to take local train. There was two stations called as Sion and Matunga. Even when your eyes are, if you are sleeping, then you get a foul smell. You know, acha, Matunga station has come. Because between Sion and Matunga, people are sitting in Lota on the railway tracks. And this is something we have seen for years. Or India, we have Bandra Kadi. The backwaters of Bandra. You know, if you Bombay Bandra station, nobody needs to wake you up. The smell itself. For example, I get that when I take a right turn on that Westgate Freeway, you know, near Deer Park, when you go on that, what is that? Towards that border, what road is that? B7 road starts from Deer Park. Border road, what is that called? Something. So when you take that road, immediately I come to know. Okay. Usually, sometimes even if Aditya is driving, I am sleeping in the front and I know, oh, this is coming. Some avatar or something is there, or some chemical factory. My God, the stench is horrible. But with your eyes closed, you know, oh yeah, Westgate Bridge. Okay, I have taken the Western, what is that? Bridge now. Okay, so because I remember I used to go to Janeshwar Prabhu's Bhakti Vriksha program many years back when I was doing programs there in that suburb. So that time I was used to going through that route. So you come to know that. I mean, we go to the airport, sometimes we know. So we come to know by repeated experience. So we become trained. So like that, similar to that, experience teaches us also, you know, some few years, like sometimes we know, okay, this person's consciousness is coming, probably had a different body in the previous lifetime, like that. Therefore, from gross behavior, we can know the tendency of the subtle body, and from that we can come to know the desire. Desire is everything. So for example, even in a deity worship, the hand may be moving like this, but the mind is somewhere else. It's quite possible. Hand is moving. Mind is somewhere else. So therefore, what is the point of that? When I was a child, you know, I used to go to a Murugan temple. Murugan is Kartikeya. So I used to go to, my mother was very pious. So she used to take me to all these temples. So I went to a Murugan temple where everything is there. Murugan, Ganesh, everybody is there. Krishna was not there in that temple, I remember. I didn't see any Krishna anywhere. Yeah. There was only Murugan. One photo may be there in some corner, but it was largely that. So there, what happened was, people used to do aarti in the evening, okay? Something was, Kartal was there, somebody used to play, you know. And one day I went there, I found that, you know, after a long time I went there. So I saw nobody. Then I asked the pujari, you know, who sings aarti nowadays? He said, hold on, one second. He went inside and switched something on. And then, ta-ra-ra-ra-ra-dum-dum-dum, ching-ching-ching, there was fully automated setup was there. Doing aarti, what is this? He said, yeah, we have purchased this because all the people, priests have run away from the temple. All guys, they are all into, gone away from the temple, gone into various activities to live their life. So nobody is there to do all these things. So then you automate. So what is the point? I mean, what is the point of switching something? Just imagine we automate here and then a robo walks in. Samsara Dara playing somewhere. This is what corporate life is all about, no? Manual activities replace, repeated activities replace. We are repeating every day. Even chanting will be repeated. Hare Krishna, it's like a jukebox. Right? Everything can be automated in the temple. But, so there is no, so it is not about doing activities. Activities even robo can do. But it is the mind has to be in that activity, which will give the result of that activity. To Krishna, these activities is not going to give pleasure to the Lord. It is the love which is there in that activity. And a robo cannot love. A programmed robo cannot love. That's one thing which robo cannot. Robo may be able to do everything. Robo cannot love. So Krishna is Bhavagrahi Janardhan. So our mind has to be trained, our intelligence has to be trained, so that gradually it becomes our friend and enables us to love the Lord in doing our activities. Otherwise, our mind will be happy in me doing everything mechanically. Mind will also say, oh, you are anyway complying, everything you are doing. You went to, you did arti, very good. That's all. You have ticked the box. Three artis, tick, 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 tick everywhere. 16 rounds tick. 4 regulatory principle tick. Everything is tick. But at the end of the day, another gross body. Right? So, we have been advised to understand the Lord as the maintainer and surrender all our senses to Him. Rishikesh. Lord is called as Rishikesh. And such a person will be liberated. Prabhupada again writes that. So again very afterwards. Mamchayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate. Prabhupada writes in this purport. Sagunan samatiteitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. So by bhakti yoga only sagunan samatiteitan. We will transcend the three modes of material nature. Because these materialistic people who are living outside in the world, they are very expert in creating impressions. They are expert in creating impressions. Even an ordinary thing, they will prop up. Now we have the greatest hero of Bollywood coming on the stage, gentlemen and ladies. The fellow has not come only now. His announcement is there. Okay? And then suddenly the lights will say, dang, dang. You know, some lights will come. The hero is still not there. Nobody has come till now. And then some people will start dancing on the side of the stage to welcome this personality. Actually, what is he? This is a fellow who is rotting in this material. Some ignorant fool who is not even worth Kirata. What is that yesterday we were studying? No? Pulinda, Ulakash, Abhira, Nagara. So, but it is a hype created. Even in a cricket match. Okay, what is it? There is one round ball, wooden fellow, and somebody is hitting with a stick, sending outside. And then now there are cheerleaders who are there, then there is phantasmagoria, the stadium, and then there are dresses, and then which team you are. Here also I see which team you are in, and people wear caps. Now even I think ornaments have come based on teams, the descendant, you know, earrings or something that will come. So they want to create material impressions out of ordinary things, which is nothing actually. There is no substance in this. Murgi and masala, they say. There is only masala, there is no murgi inside there. No chicken, only the masala is there on top of that. So basic substance is not there. So these impressions go very deep into our consciousness. And apparently a very ordinary thing looks very special to us. Like that. So similarly, that's why Prabhupada established elaborate deity worship. Prabhupada has asked, chanting is a Yuga Dharma, you can chant under a tree, why so many temples? So Prabhupada created opulent temples, why? To create these impressions. Because impressions are created when something is fantastic. So Prabhupada created this impression. Dress the deity elaborately. Have a beautiful temple. Because this is what attracts everyone to Krishna. If you just have a murti under a tree, with Krishna playing the flute, people will not worship. People will just pass by sometime. In India we do that. People do that. And then put some coin there, okay? And the fellow, one beggar will be there, Dadiwala, who will be sitting next to that deity. He will collect everything and that orange color, tilak he will put on. Like that, and one coconut piece he may give at best, if at all he decides to, right? So this is what will happen if you put under a tree. So Prabhupada established his opulent temple, so people will come. He established Juhu temple to attract these kind of people to come and study the philosophy. So similarly, here we create that, what happens in the morning you come. Then doors are closed, then suddenly the door opens, and then the curtains open, and then conch blows, and then everyone is waiting, and then the dress, and Janmashtami, the deities are dressed, everyone is waiting, the moment, with bated breath, and then the doors open. Govindam Adi Purusham. All this is what? All this is creating impressions on our mind. If it was just simple, okay, walk in the door, somebody just opening the door. Everything is ordinary, right? So Prabhupada tried to create this because he knew these impressions have to be given to us. So everything that is fantastic about the temple is meant to give us those impressions, because these impressions will stay with us longer.
Similarly, when we keep studying, now that's about deity. Similarly, when we keep studying the pastimes of the Lord deeply, then deep impressions are made in our hearts. And then the desire of the soul to serve the Lord is intensified by doing that. All we need to do by study of the Shastras, we will come to know how Lord Krishna thinks. What does he want? And therefore we can align our mind's desires with the desires of the soul, which is our true desire, which is our Jaiva Dharma. And then there is no trouble of subtle body. If this alignment happens, there is no subtle body, and hence there is no gross body and there is no suffering. So prior to concluding, there is an important point I want to leave this class with. So this mind control, though yes, generally all along we have been speaking of mind control largely in the context of liberation from the material energy, but mind control is not all about liberation from the material energy. A pure devotee actually does not even work for liberation. Moksha lagutakrit. What is that verse? Sarishti sarupya ekatva muta diyamanam na grahanti vinamat sevanam janaram. A devotee does not even want sarupya mukti or same form as the Lord, proximity to the Lord. Devotee doesn't want anything. Devotee only wants to serve. So therefore mind control is not all about liberation. Rather, it is about controlling the mind so that it is able to focus on Lord Krishna's service better. That's one. And the controlled mind is the mind that will be able to relish Lord Krishna's pastimes even in this material world. That is why Narottam Das Thakur in Prarthana, in the famous song, Gauranga Bolite Hare, Pulaka Sharira, he says, Vishaya chariya kabe shuddha habe mana kabe hamahe ravo Sri Vrindavan. What a beautiful line. He says, when the mind is completely purified, being free from material anxieties and desires, then I shall be able to understand Vrindavan and the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna, and then my spiritual life will be successful. So it's not about liberation. The mood of Narottam Das Thakur is not controlling the mind to escape. It is to focus on the conjugal pastimes of Radha and Krishna, and then life is successful. So that is a devotee's true incentive for mind control, not just liberation. So I'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Yeah.
Any questions or comments?
So even being a like a devotee or aspiring devotee, you still the mind still does goes here and there, but it's always to like, oh, should I read? I'll read now, or you pretending, oh, I want to read now, or I want to go listen to bhajans, or now I want to go walk to the beach and listen, or something like that. But it's still like the same principle, but it's just with Krishna now. So, like, should we be trying to, like, is that good, or is that still like?
It's excellent actually. Being in Krishna consciousness itself is excellent. Okay. So we are in the right movement. Being in Krishna consciousness is excellent. So we have to understand that as much as, yes, these instructions are there, so we have to get there. We cannot get there in one day. It may take one lifetime, it may take several lifetimes. It depends. If we are very serious, in one lifetime it will be finished. Okay. We can get there. Because the holy name is powerful enough. It is, yesterday we were discussing, we were discussing second canto in our Bhakti Vaibhav. We were discussing this, that we cannot commit enough sins which the holy name cannot clean up. The holy name is very powerful. So the holy name will gradually detach us from anything that is not connected with Krishna. However, in a day, if we are struggling with what to prioritize, because the mind will tell go for a walk, mind will tell this, that, then
one of the easiest methods of that is sadhu sangha. That's why sadhu sangha is very important. Senior devotees, if we are under the shelter of some senior devotee, if we have some senior devotees always overseeing us, who we can go to for guidance, then that is the best gift Lord Krishna. That's the best gift of Lord. So we can discuss with the senior devotees who can help us prioritize our, our life, and who can give us a diet, a regimen, a regular, okay, getting up at this time, focus on this, focus on that. For example, we have so many students who come to Australia, and we have this glorious Bhakta Bhavan of us, Gopalanesh Prabhu, Nityanand Priya Prabhu, all these stalwart devotees, in my view they are all stalwarts, they have set up this whole thing. What have they given to the students? Why these students are so happy today? Because they have been given right priorities, and they have been facilitated to work on these right priorities. So therefore this is the greatest gift for, which somebody can get. So if ever we are struggling with so many activities and we are feeling that we are just floating in bhakti and we are not very sure whether we are going the right direction or not, it is better to have a checkpoint with some senior devotee from time to time, who can tell us, okay, give us some little bit of fine guidance here, there. Just like an airline, an aircraft, when it is going, it's always connected with the ground. It doesn't say, okay, I'm anyway higher than everyone, so it's okay. I can see much more than what they can see from the ground. Hang on. You need that radar control. Otherwise, 1 degree off can mean instead of landing in San Francisco, you will land in Los Angeles. Right? So therefore, the pilot is always checking the nose of the aircraft. When you see, when it takes off, the nose is like this. And you're thinking, where is it going, man? I thought I took Singapore. Then after some time, the nose comes like this. Then it goes this way. Then it comes this way. The pilot is always adjusting. So every time, we have to keep adjusting our life. So there is no one thing. We cannot have a very predictable spiritual life also. Our spiritual life, suddenly some challenge will come. Some health problem will come. Some COVID-19 issue will come. So always material world is going to bring changes in our life. Okay. Amidst this change, therefore we have to keep, reprioritizing. Yes, there is no question of deprioritizing spiritual life. But to prioritize spiritual life, we have to prioritize so many other things also around that, so that our spiritual life is not endangered. And that's a constant thing. It's not some one tablet, panacea, okay, go, done, everything. Like a pilot, it's constantly you have to do every day and every day. So this is where, association of devotees, more experienced devotees will come. So as long as we are in the shelter of more experienced devotees, we will never go wrong. Never. Is that help?
Yeah, it's just especially prevalent now because there's not a lot happening. It's like you're sitting there chairing. It's like,
yeah. Now, this is an interesting point you said. Not a lot is happening. Okay. I heard something very interesting in that. I'll share it with you. I've shared it before in one of the classes here, but I'll still repeat it. So, when you are in the aircraft, we all have traveled by aircraft, right? So, when the aircraft is flying at 36,000 feet, what happens? When you're sitting in the window seat, what happens? When you look outside, you think, hang on, is this something moving or no? Nothing is happening, man. Right? The clouds are there and you're thinking, it's just as good as you're sitting on a foam. On foam. All clouds, nothing, no movement, nothing. That's all. You're just sitting. And you're wondering, actually, is it moving? And if someone tells you the aircraft is moving at 800 kilometers per hour or something like that, you say, come on, nothing. Nothing is moving, right? Now, when do you realize? When you come down and hit that tarmac. Come, and then, and then the brakes are applied, and then you realize, my God, what speed I was going in, right? So sometimes when you are doing bhakti regularly, you get so used to it, you don't realize you are progressing. You think nothing is happening, but it is happening. You are going towards Goloka Vrindavan, right? But sometimes when you fall down, you realize, my God, I thought nothing was happening, so I gave up, and now all those habits have come back. Whatever I left. And then you realize that I was actually flying, man, at 850 kilometers per hour. I didn't realize that those simple things which I was doing, just taking a pot and washing it, getting up in the morning, just some simple talks with devotees. These are the things which take us to Goloka Vrindavan. In bhakti, that's what Prabhupada said, bhakti is simple. It's not easy. Because it is simple, it is not easy. We complicate it. We don't have to do anything more than what we are doing now. Getting up in the morning, chanting attentive rounds. Yes, one thing. not offending devotees. That is one key. Because when we offend devotees, we press the undo button in Excel sheet. Everything is undone, right? And we don't get access to our spiritual account, right? So if we are simply, if we follow, Prabhupada said, simply follow four regulative principles, chant 16 rounds attentively, try to struggle to control the mind, bring it back when it goes back. That's all. And have a good relationship with the Vaishnavas. Serve them. That's not simple. There is nothing to be done beyond this. If we do this, Prabhupada is saying you'll go back to Godhead. There's nothing more you have to do. Is it? Does that help?
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk here. Verse 9:5. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Natra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.